Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
You know, several years ago, I read an article disturbingly entitled, Why Men Are Unnecessary. And the gist was that men's main positive contribution to the world was their sperm, and if that could just be collected or manufactured, an actual man was obsolete. And I found the premise not just arrogant, but also extremely misguided, because men are not just sperm donors. The truth is, they provide a necessary influence for their children that is complementary to the role of a mother. And in addition, according to a Harvard study, the most important factor in determining a happy, satisfied life is the quality of our relationships. But just like in reference to that article, men are often dismissed when it comes to relationships. But since they're involved in them, it's important to pay attention to what role they do and can play. And so to talk a little bit more about this, I'm joined by Martin Brossman. He is the author of Finding Our Fire, Enhancing Men's Connection to Heart, Passion, and Strength, and he's also the creator of an organization called the Men's Inquiry. So, Martin, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've wanted to get you on the show for quite a while because I think it is so critically important that we stop dismissing half of our relationships.
Yeah, it's so exciting to be here, and it was exciting. I'm experimenting with Alignable, that we made the connection over Alignable, which is a small business networking thing. So I'm going to claim that as a small win for my experiment, too.
Yes. I actually went to a meeting where you were doing the presentation, and what you were talking about, and it's a working title for a book you're in the process of writing called A Model of the Maturing Man, which I love that. Yep. And by the way, I've actually read the book. And so you had a really interesting way of defining a maturing man. So how do you define that? What is that?
Yes, and I want to give just a little bit of background on it so it has a context.
Sure.
After my divorce and my practice marriage back in 95, I realized if I didn't do a little soul searching, there was a high chance I would repeat the mistake. In fact, I got my former wife to get into therapy under that argument.
Right.
To say, look, if we didn't figure out what we did wrong, we're probably going to repeat this. Clearly,
well,
this
and
chapter
by the way,
closed.
That's actually a true statement. If people don't, it's, you know, if we don't learn from history, we're destined to repeat it.
Yeah, I met a guy that's had seven wives that all look the same because he didn't learn it yet.
Right.
But the piece of it is from that, that was one piece. And then another piece is, though I had a great father, there was something missing for me. And what occurred is there was I read a book called Iron John that's not for everyone. It's a mythopoetic thing looking at what is the fable and story of a man's initiation into manhood. And Robert Bly challenged that we've lost those components,
sure.
That they're important. And I was at IBM driving around doing customer service and training, and I wasn't a real emotional person, and I'm listening to this fairy tale, and I've got tears running down my face, and I was really uncomfortable because I went, what's going on here?
Uh-huh.
And that's where the journey all began, because I'm going, I don't understand this, and this is grabbing me at a nonverbal level. And it took a long time to then bring that up into something to work with for myself, which led me after the divorce to take some personal development work year just for men.
Uh-huh.
And then going, why isn't there a group of men getting together having conversations about life? And I created the Men's Inquiry and a book on it and so forth. So I want to give that the background and also state right up front, my information I'm providing is not research-based or PhD. It's anecdotal, just like most original science began in the history of mankind.
Sure, I think here's the thing I'm interested in. Let's go explore it.
Right. That's it. And so mine is like, you know, like the guy who took the chemical and went, well, it didn't kill me. I wonder what we can use it for. That's the way I approach this. So
yes.
It's very different. And then I wrote my book and I met with a guy. He said, I read your book. I don't quite understand it. What is it? And I sat down on a napkin and said, men need socialization to mature. We're not getting it. And these are the four components needed. And all of this came to me as a gestalt on a napkin, like at a coffee shop in front of a financial planner. And it all came together.
Right.
And I went, there are four components they need for socialization to mature. And the four components are, they need sufficient father energy is how I defined it.
Uh-huh.
They need sufficient mother energy. They need a rites of passage, and they need mentoring and mastery. And basically, I've been trying to put that aside for years because I couldn't figure out. I'm self-employed. I had spent a lot of money on the first book and didn't make much because we were not ready to talk about men's issues. I'm not sure we're still right now.
Yeah, I know. But I think we need to. I actually do think that the timing is right for that.
Well, I think the timing's right because, one, there are women getting tired of men bashing is the only conversation to have, and they're seeing the tremendous cost of years of doing this to our sons.
Right.
And moms love their sons enough, they're willing to face being wrong in their model, not wrong like bad or anything,
right,
in their model and learn something new for their love of their son. So I think there's hope.
Right.
Around the corner now for even this discussion.
Well, but that's why I was so upset when I read, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago that I read this article titled, you know, Why Men Are Not Necessary. And I just went, because I'm the mother of a son. I'm the wife. You know, it's like, I don't subscribe to that. I think it's, if anybody said women were unnecessary, oh my gosh, would there not be an uproar?
Oh my God, absolutely. Or well, we're always sending signals, in my view, that fathers aren't.
Yes.
But just imagine if we sent the signal that mothers aren't. I mean, I'd
right.
be offended and protest.
Well, and in actuality, there's actual research, evidence-based research that men, that fathers are important, that father energy you're talking about is very important, not more important, but as important. And that's, I think, where, I mean, I'm not, I reject any black, white, zero, one, yes, no solutions, because it's always more complicated than that. It's always, it's never either or, it's always both and, which is why I really wanted you to come on and talk about this concept. And I want to get into, it's like, you know, why you feel this concept is so important and why it's so timely right now.
Well, why I feel it's important and timely is a gut experience of every time I see another shooting with a young man, every time I see another horde of young men joining gangs because there's no initiation for them in a positive way, every time I keep seeing the rollout of more violence, young man, more giving up, you know, less are going to college than almost any time in history. Suicide is not getting better with the young man.
No, it's getting
I keep
worse.
Going, we have to actually get some people to start this conversation. Do I have all the answers? No, I don't. I want the conversation and be part of it. We've
yep.
got to be able to look at something and go, what if we missed something here? What if the pendulum swung so far that the cost is so great? I don't want to take a gram of value out of supporting our daughters and being all they can be. But what if we forgot our sons in this process? What if we left them out and we said, well, you're a boy, so you're of course going to win? No, there's a lot of very rich men at the top that are going to cut off women and men to stay in power. And this is the cost I see. And I do believe I'm so blessed I got to speak at that group. And I'm so, you know, I walk away from those because usually the looks on the face aren't warm and friendly sometimes because I was like, well, they didn't flog me. I got through it. And I've had, well, I'm getting all this feedback over time of this was one of the most valuable talks and everything. But even I'm concerned of having the conversation because I think we haven't matured collectively to have, because to me, if you don't see both sides, then you're just trying to be right. You aren't trying to make a difference in the world. You just want to be right.
Right, and it gets looked at as a zero-sum game, which if, you know, if women advance, men have to retreat. If men advance, then women – it's like, no, we all have to advance together. And I think that's, you know, one of the things where – you know, feminism has gotten a bad name because, you know, it isn't, well, I mean, although in some cases it is bash the males, which is not helpful. But in a lot of cases, it's like, let's all be able to reevaluate these rigid roles that people are in. But there's some, and you were talking about the importance of the ritual or the you know, the rites of passage. And I think that some men who get involved in athletics can get some of that. But I think that if I don't see any place else in our society where, I mean, other than, of course, in some of the religious faiths, because I know in Judaism you have the, you know, you have the bar mitzvah, which is a rite of passage. But I don't know, in society we don't really have that anymore.
Well, I want to speak. I am not Jewish, and I'm, but I often am thought to be Jewish with my name by Jewish people. So that's like the best of both worlds. But I do want to talk about that because I have talked to rabbis of this to understand it, and I want to be respectful in saying this. What I'm hearing from them is that it has lost its initiatory quality, and now it's a party that isn't initiatory. So I do want to, you know, state that. And I had a woman hire me to work with her to support her in making sure her son's bar mitzvah was a rites of passage. And I said, look, I only have my model. I'm not a therapist, anything else. But she says, I am a therapist, you know, and I know what it is, and I want you. And so I told her to go to the rabbi and say, what does it take to make this? What was the original intention of the bar mitzvah? Uh-huh. And she said he choked up because no one's ever asked him that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm paraphrasing some things also to protect some confidentiality. So
sure.
Just let you know that.
Sure.
Excuse me a moment. But I want to talk about that. What occurred is apparently the process was the son – first of all, they minimized the party. The
uh-huh.
son went and studied with the rabbi to learn the spiritual world of that. And there was a real period of it, and they actually minimized the party and idea. And that was the experience. It went with the rabbi, worked with them. There was I don't know all the details, but there was something there to do.
Uh-huh.
And there was something there for him to learn and understand the rules of being a spiritual man in the Jewish faith. And and then the fascinating thing I said is, she said, how will I know it worked? And I said, well, I don't know, but I know women that have had men that have young men go through an effective initiation find that cuddly quality where their son does not exist anymore. Because he has now broken the bonds with his mother, so now it's his adult mother, not mommy anymore.
Uh-huh.
And now he has a chance to mature into a man and find his place.
That's a really interesting viewpoint, and it kind of gets to the next question I was going to ask, which is what gets in the way of this process? And, you know, and as you're describing this break – where you know they're not little boys anymore that want to cuddle with mom, and of course, you know, it's interesting because I watched this process slightly differently with my own son and his friends, where there is this pulling away in a very different way than my daughter did.
Right.
And it's interesting because, you know, my son's 25, and just this morning he was texting me kind of something like, you know, what's an appropriate price for a set of tires? And it's like, so he still, you know, wants, you know, he's coming at it from a very different way. And
yeah.
But he's still involved, I'm still involved in his life, but in a very, very different way than, of course, when he was 10 or 11 or 6 or whatever. And I'm wondering if, because I've just noticed this overall, that in many cases, we don't want our children to grow up, whether it's our boys or our girls. And I think is that part of what's getting in the way of this process for men to become, you know, the maturing man?
Well, I think so. And but I want to add one more piece to that story that's critical.
Mm-hmm.
Because I said there'll be a shift in your relationships. That's the best I know.
Mm-hmm.
And after the experience, she went up like she normally does to hug him, and he viscerally moved his arms up to push her away,
ooh,
not in a harmful way, but
yeah,
almost at an unconscious, this isn't appropriate anymore. She
ooh
saw it happen firsthand.
Yeah.
And here's the bad news of this from my old experience. We have to face that a break has to happen with the mother, and we've gotten so warm and cuddly, we don't want anything like this to exist. We want everything to be gooey and loving and connected, and we don't want to break. And I'm challenging, from my experience, the maturing will not happen without the break. And so what will happen is the mother will brag about the son, and then I'll meet the son and he'll go, I can't get relationships to work. Women only want to be a friend with me. You know, I'm passive aggressive and I don't want my mother to know. So this is, I've heard both sides of this for a long time. And so I just wanted to give that actually occurred. And so I would say there a success occurred. Now, I haven't kept up. You know,
uh-huh,
it's a relationship when coaching where if they choose to stop engaging, that we were done. Okay.
Right.
But I wanted to give, I think there's several things. One, I think we can't blame one group.
Sure.
I think there's enough blame to go around for all of us. The second thing is we just assumed, because most of our psychological model was based on a lot of current, it seems to be more the feminine approach,
uh-huh,
that we assumed it should map onto the masculine in the same way. And my experience is it doesn't. It's different. And it's as equally disrespectful to act like it does as it is in the past when we so many times harmfully assumed something good for men with the approach to women, disrespecting the uniqueness and value the feminine offers.
Right. And I can't agree with you more. This is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm having what I think is a really timely conversation with author and creator of The Men's Inquiry, Martin Brossman, about how men are being raised. And the old gender roles are being challenged, and a lot of men are really confused about how to show up in their relationships, in their lives. And if this is something you're challenged by, I invite you to send me an email or give me a call and find out if my new program, The Hero Husband Project, is right for you. You can reach me at area code 919-924-0463. Again, that's 919-924-0463. Or you can send me an email at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's FOUNDATIONS, coaching, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie.com. And right now I want to get back to talking about this process of how do we let or how do we help our boys become men, and how do we get past this either-or concept and go into really we need both masculine and feminine, because quite frankly we all carry masculine and a feminine energy inside of us, and we need both. And so I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. And so Martin, how does this process, this maturing man process, or worse, the failure of it, impact adult relationships or romantic relationships, maybe not even adult relationships, just the romantic relationships?
Well, I'll tell you, and many women can relate. So go, he's such a sensitive, nice guy, but for some reason I want to claw his eyes out. That's it. He has no backbone. He has heart without spine. He developed the feminine before he developed the masculine. He's passive aggressive. Mm-hmm. He's a. In fact, I used to be. I'm called a recovering snag. This is my term. Sensitive new age guy.
I love that term.
And the guy said, you know, when I took the first men's weekend, I go, well, what do you tell women? And he knew who he was looking at. He said, look me right in the eyes. He goes, I tell them to stay away from the snags. And I go, what's a snag? Sensitive new age guy. And I was like, I'm caught. I drank the Kool-Aid. I tried to be sensitive. I was understanding. And now I'm goo. I'm not. I can't stand up for things I value. I don't know what my principles are. I threw myself out the window. No wonder my first wife left me. I got to do some work here.
Well, and the other extreme is just as toxic, I think, what is now being referred to as toxic masculinity, where it's, you know, all testosterone all the time, where there is no empathy, understanding, and I think that's probably a lot of the challenge for a lot of people. It's like, okay, so if we're not these sensitive new age guys, does that mean we have to be these obnoxious? Yeah.
Right. And I want to answer that. You asked me a question, what happens if this doesn't exist? Mm-hmm. There are several rules that show up. And again, this is for explanation. We aren't all black and white.
Exactly.
My friend Tom Golden, who wrote the best book on men and grief, talks about the fact that in our core, 80% of us are masculine and 80% of human beings are feminine, and it has a bell curve distribution. So I want to be real respectful. This is, we're using conversations of absolutes for the discussion, not that the real world always lines up this way. So your question to me was, what happens if we don't get it? And what happens is either we become the gooey, sensitive, attractive, but guy, or we become what I call the brittle man. And that's where he must dominate and control his environment because his core is empty. And that's what we're the challenge with the word toxic male is, it's spreading over like all males are that, is my concern with that terminology. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like intrinsically, the new way, you know, why all males are wrong. In fact, I do have to tell you a joke. I was at a bookstore years ago, and I'm looking at the self-help book, and this nice woman comes up and she goes, why aren't other men here looking at books like this? And I said, because there's an invisible banner you don't see that men see at the top that say more books to make men wrong.
Exactly.
Because that's how it's being used in their life. But the key of this is there are three main categories I'm distinguishing that happen. Either they're the sensitive new age guy, which also, just so you know, on the more conservative end is what I call the good Christian boy.
Okay.
Man. Okay, so in the more, you know, liberal world, it's the sensitive new age guy. In the more conservative Christian, they go into this kind of passive, agreeable, good Christian man, which to me has nothing to do with the Christ I read about in the Bible. So just, you know,
right.
It was anything but passive. Okay, you know, so that's it. So that's one spectrum. Then on the other spectrum is what I call the brittle male, like a pine tree. You know, it has no core, so it must dominate and control its environment to feel safe. And that's the one that many women have experienced and been abused. That's also the bad boy, because they feel like I'll take bad boy over wimp, which is unfortunate, but the truth is, without the initiation, the third male doesn't move forward. And the third male has core principles. He has a core in his center. It's more like bamboo. It's flexibility, but there's a point you press and it doesn't move. It's right. Like, you know, we're not going there. You know, it's like, it's the man that decides, you know, I want my son. Now, this is a tough conversation. I want my son to learn gun safety. My wife doesn't like it, and I believe it's core for him not to do something stupid with a gun. She's going to be upset. I'm going to get good education. We'll be supervised. I'll have to live with her being upset. Now, I'm not for just disagreeing, but that would be an example of an unmovable core value that a father might hold, because his, like, I know in my gut that without the education, he's going to see a gun and think it's safe to pick up, you know, or something like that. You get? Uh-huh. So I'm just using that as an example of having to live. And so many men I've heard say, well, my wife ruined my son. No, you weren't a father. You know, you didn't stand up for what you thought was what's ruined. That's two to tango here. You failed as being a father as much as the both are equal to blame.
Well, so, and I find that interesting, because you bring up and I hear this all the time about, well, I don't want my wife to be upset. And my usual answer to that is, okay, so what's the problem if she's upset? You know, I mean, as long as you didn't, whatever it was you were doing wasn't with the intention of upsetting her, but oh, you did something, you followed your principle, you stayed true to who you were, and oh, by the way, your wife didn't like it.
That's it. You know, there's a difference between core principles and just being a stubborn SOB because you don't really have any principles.
Right.
You know, right. I just want to distinguish. So what I'm saying is there's an undistinguished maturing of men in our culture. We aren't having the conversation enough to distinguish it. We aren't asking what is the socialization that works today to create the environment. So to me, we aren't even on the beginning of the pathway. And then we're trying to kill off anything. We're viewing anything that looks like it might help men as it must be taking away from women, which is actually counterproductive. The absence of this, to me, takes something away from women and children every day. So it's a very complicated conversation that, and also for listeners, I challenge, if you're getting offended, that this might be a good time to look to just see, am I challenging an internal model you have? I want to add something interesting. And again, these are stereotypes for conversation, but it's funny. If you ask 2/3 of the men a question, do you understand women? Most of them will say, I don't. If you ask women, do you understand men? Most will say they do. So the challenge with this work is this breaks up that model. But what it gives women is a richer model that makes their ability to have relationships work better. But you have to move through. No one likes to being wrong. I don't enjoy it. I go, oh, I'm uncomfortable. I'm wrong. Now what can I learn from it? It doesn't mean I enjoy that experience, but this is a model disruptor for many women and then many men, because I was like, I used to, you know, as more of a snag, I was the first to criticize men. I was the first to side for any bashing of men. I got all types of kudos, and my wife couldn't stand to be around me back then. And rightfully so. I was a pansy. I was I could see her being assaulted and go, honey, I'm cheering you on. Remember your self-defense class. I mean, it was worthless.
Well, but
I
think
bought
that,
into this.
But I also think that's part of the problem. And this is where, you know, I've made a decision recently that I'm going to step into this conversation. So that's why I wanted you on the show, is that I think women think they understand men, but I don't think they really do.
Well, what I want to be respectful. They have a model way richer than men do of women. And I'm just challenging them, because there's a book called Women Can't Hear What Men Don't Say, because no one put this data together for them. Mm-hmm. They don't have tools to make it broader. And what my experience is those that get this and see the value, it broadens their internal map. And it's incredible, the experiences I'll hear from the women who will explore it, where they'll go, oh my God, now I'm having better relationships with my son than ever before. Now, you know, and so forth. And I can give a case example, if you'd like, of it.
Sure.
If that would be helpful. Would that be helpful?
I think it would be very helpful.
Okay, so an example is, I grew up with a friend in D.C. that his wife always called him the Stone, and it's Ferris. He knows this, and this conversation's known. And I've known him. I mean, we met apparently when we were in diapers. You know, and she's like, he's kind of a stereotypical, disconnected, appearing guy. But see, the problem is I know Ferris, and I know he loves his kids. He loves his values. He loves his daughter, you know, in the greatest way as a dad. He's heartbroken because one of his sons had some trouble, so she calls him the Stone. So his dad passed, and he came over to me because I talk well with his wife, and she's a nurse. And she said, "Look, you know, his dad has passed, and he's not grieving." And I said, "Yes, he is.
Yes,
come
he
with
is.
Me." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Look in that backyard. What did he do?" And he says, "Well, he's not grieving. He's just re-landscaping the whole backyard." And I said,
"That's grieving.
The backyard that he played with his father growing up. That's man grieving."
Mm-hmm.
And she like started tearing up because she got it and went, "Oh my God, I'm trying to be getting him to be a woman grieving. And he's been grieving his father by re-landscaping the domain where he spent hour and hour playing and being with his father, the ritual's ground they were on, and making it into an amazing place that really honored his father." Now, if you said it to him, he'd probably go, "I don't know about that." You got it?
Like, that's not why I'm doing this. Yeah. There were just weeds.
Yeah, they're just weeds.
Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, I saw it happen because, thanks to my work and experience of how men grieve different, which is Tom Golden's work,
mm-hmm.
and go, this is it. So, you know, then her model shifted. You know what I mean? It
mm-hmm.
shifted. It got bigger. It didn't get worse, but she has to move through, "Oh, my God, I'm wrong." Now, yeah, I'm a pretty safe person to do that next to because I'm also a coach, you know, and I really, in that space, it's easy to not be judgmental or go, "I want her to be wrong." But but that's an example of the model shifting.
Well, and I think it's important, and because I pay attention to words, and there are certain words that I don't like because they're so laden, and it isn't so much that somebody's wrong; it's just not complete. It's like there may be parts of what I'm thinking that are accurate, but it's only looking at it from one perspective, as opposed to being able to see, oh, there is this other perspective. And I think, you know, I've said this before, where I think that whoever designed the system where men and women were supposed to get along in relationships for a long time had a wicked sense of humor.
Yeah, right.
It's like,
right.
You know, I call it the cosmic joke. It's like, who designed this? But I think that this is a really important conversation to have, and I'm so glad that you're starting the conversation. And so where can people learn more? If you know, if they're open to learning some more about this, if they're willing to have their internal, you know, dialogue challenged a little bit, where can they learn more about this?
Well, want to add one thing to the thing wrong. When I say wrong, that's the experience the user's having,
okay.
Not what I view. Okay,
right.
So I just want to correct that.
Okay,
it feels like, oh my gosh, I'm wrong. I'm threatened, and what do I do with it?
Okay,
so I want to add that. So, one way they can do it is they can, if they want to see some of my video I'm slowly editing from that wonderful talk we did, they can go to YouTube and search for Finding Our Fire / Martin Brossman, and they'll see the channel. It's called Finding Our Fire. And it is the channel for the information. The website itself is very outdated because I spent, I wrote the book and took care of my parents for 15 years, which they peacefully passed in their home. And just so you know, I wouldn't have been able to do it if I hadn't done the men's work. It was the fire I needed to protect them in the hospital to be, you know, I'd go up to, I think, is this nurse or doctor? Can I get to be Columbo or do I need to be Billy Jack? And I had both available. It increases behavioral options, doesn't limit it. If they want to see the original site that's old HTML, they can go to toinquire.com that badly needs an upgrade. But the YouTube is where they'll find the latest information. And if they want to reach out privately to learn about the work as time permits on the next book, they can reach me at martin@martinbrossman.com. I'm moving slow with this because I'm self-employed and there are a lot of people that really have terrible wounds and they're looking for the next person to beat up on this. And I don't have a lot of resources to address that, but I do it because I feel called that I challenge that these are the root causes of violence in our culture that we are barely looking at, that this is the core and we're not looking at it enough.
Well, and as I said before, we know that it's the quality of our relationships that determines overall life satisfaction. And successful relationships require healthy, well-adjusted individuals. It's critically important that we do not leave half of the population behind if we want stable, contented communities. And inviting men into the conversation, like we have today, about relationships is essential if we want them to work. So I hope you found this interesting, and I hope you'll keep listening. And until next week, stay loving.